Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. This is Paul Sollentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We're going to get started on back-to-school stuff with Wichita State Director of Athletics, Darren Boatwright. We've got a lot of new things, as you usually do for school starting again. Let's get started with some new coaches. Most prominently, that would be over at X Stadium. We've got Eric Wedge taking over as coach. We've got Mike Sirianni, new assistant coach. Mike Pelfrey is kind of new, but not as new. And Lauren Hibbs is the director of operations. So they are probably, Darren, maybe 2.5-3 weeks into fall practice. You've been around Eric a lot now since he came on. What are your initial impressions about Eric Wedge as the baseball coach?
Well, I'm really, really excited that Eric was available to consider this opportunity and thinks enough of this program and university and the future of both to commit his time. And when you get to know Eric, you know that when he commits to something, he's 100% all in. And I really enjoyed that aspect of getting to know him and learning his vision, trying to learn his leadership style, and being there in a support role. I think that it's important when you bring in a head coach in any sport that you immediately begin to defer to their belief system and what they want and think that they need to be successful. I admittedly don't know a lot about track and field, but we have a very successful track and field program, and I think that's because this administration and previous administrations have deferred to the coaches and try to provide what they need to be successful. That's exactly what we're doing with our baseball program. Eric has big plans, and he is very focused, very committed to what he believes it takes to be successful, and we're there to help support him. And really, really excited that he's here. I think he's put together a fantastic staff. Interestingly, although they were in Major League Baseball together for several years, he and Mike Pelfrey never knew each other. They'd only met in passing at Wichita State events, so they didn't really know each other or have a relationship. So that was something that had to develop naturally, and There were no preconceived notions of anyone has to stay. So Mike earned that job and earned the responsibilities on his own and impressed Eric from the beginning. And then he went about building his staff methodically. And I believe the fact that Lauren Hibbs was willing to retire as the head coach after 27 years at Charlotte and come to be a part of trying to fix our program and trying to get it back on track where we all believe it can be and want it to be, I think that speaks volumes for not only our program and the thoughts that Lauren has about our program, but also for what he believes in and Eric.
Yeah, bringing Lauren back, really interesting move. For those who don't know, Lauren Hibbs was a player here in the early 80s. I think he still holds a record for runs scored in a season. He was an assistant coach and then left to become the head coach at Charlotte in 91 or 92 and had been there until he came back to Wichita State this summer. So he brings a lot of experience to this staff. What kind of things are you looking for him to help out with, to add to that group over there?
Well, what he provided immediately to Eric was knowledge and extensive experience in college baseball, and that's something that is a transition for Eric. Baseball is baseball when it comes between the lines, but as we all know, there's a lot of ancillary things in the college game, from academic requirements to time requirements to recruiting calendars, to number of visits, official visits you can have, when you can bring in unofficial visits, just different rules and compliance things. And, you know, there are also some differences in the rules of the game that I believe Lauren just really settled down any nerves that Eric may have had of such a big learning curve in those aspects. You know, I'm looking for him to just provide the stability and the knowledge base for Eric, and it'll be a quick learn for him as he goes through this first year and experiences things for the first time. I think a year from now he'll feel a whole lot better and realize there's really not that much difference in the game, but there are several differences outside of the actual game in terms of the 354-page manual that is the NCAA rule book.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to get Eric's perspective next June or July when he's had a year to kind of go through it and digest. Shockers have a scrimmage at X Stadium against Nebraska on September 21st, so we'll get somewhat of a gauge of fan enthusiasm. I know the Skybox is sold out, I think, within like 24 hours after he was hired or after the announcement. What kind of reaction have you gotten out in the community when you're out talking baseball, out meeting with people?
Well, there was an immediate surge of interest, and I think that's always expected when you have a transition in leadership, especially when you bring in a former player and someone of the stature and significance of Eric Wedge and into our program. So I remember in his press conference he talked about, remember the excitement that you're feeling now. And, it needs to sustain. It doesn't need to be a small spark. It's going to take some time to build what we want to build. And this game against Nebraska, although it's an exhibition game on September 21st, this is a challenge to Wichita. This is a challenge to our supporters, our fans. Are you committed? And if you are, show up. Let's see. Let's show our team. Let's show our new staff that baseball still matters in Wichita, Kansas. And I think that's the way Eric is looking at it. That's the way we're looking at it as a department. We're trying to do some things to build interest. We're really focusing on our students and trying to get our students back to being more involved in baseball. We're going to do a big tailgate for our students and provide food and beverages. And they always get in free to all of our athletic events, but we're trying to show some excitement around that exhibition game. And I believe that our coaching staff has high expectations for our fan base and coming out and supporting that game at 2 o'clock first pitch on the 21st. And, we want and expect a big crowd for that game.
That'll be interesting. The other new coach, also a former Shocker, Judd Easterling, is the new men's golf coach. He was an assistant here for 3 years before he took over the program. What kind of things did you see from Judd in those 3 years as an assistant that helped him get that head coaching position?
Well, he understood his role, and he was very loyal to Greer. Greer did a fantastic job leading our golf program for many, many years, into the 20-some years, 24 or 5 years, whatever it was. And, after Judd had been here for a year or so, and it became evident that Greer at some point was going to step down. We didn't know exactly when, and we sure weren't forcing him out. But we had a visit with Judd and let him know that we would talk to one person about a recommendation on who the next head coach would be to lead our golf program, and that would be Greer. So if you have any interest in being that coach, being that head coach, you need to do a good job for the head coaches in place, because he's going to have a big say in who succeeds him. And I think that's the right way to handle things when there's a possibility for an internal move, is to look and advise the person who's in consideration to be a good assistant coach. That's the most important role you have right now, and it's the only role you have right now. So if you want to impress upon us that you have the opportunity and you have the knowledge base and the skill set to be a head coach, the main thing you can do now is the job in front of you. And Judd did that, and Greer was fiercely loyal to Judd and had no issues or qualms with recommending him for the role.
That hiring is such a big part of your job. How much do you enjoy that challenge of identifying, thinking ahead, planning, those kind of things? How much is that challenge enjoyable for you?
I love the first day. The first day everybody's excited. So I really like that. You you go into situations like this having done your homework, and you know, you believe wholeheartedly and that you made the right decision, and you have to know and accept that you know, that's a big transition. You know, when you talk about it and think about it, moving over, let's use basketball, the bench in basketball as an example. You know, moving over 18 inches from the assistant coach or the associate head coach, then you move over 18 inches to the head coach's chair, a lot of things change. You know, recommendations are easy, decisions are hard. And you never know how someone's going to react to that and, you know, shoulder the responsibilities that come with leading a program as opposed to assisting in a program. So I really enjoy the process of evaluating and studying and gaining knowledge on individuals, getting to know them as much as you can in that time frame, and deciding whether or not you have confidence in handing over the reins and giving the leadership away to a new person. You know, continuity is always the best, but there are times when we have to make changes in leadership, and whether it's retirement or whether it's other reasons that come along. Sometimes people move along, and sometimes you move along people. So, but I enjoy the process of getting to know and learn about others' careers, and trying to always be prepared in all of our sports in case something unexpected happens.
Got a lot of construction going on around the athletic department. I guess it would be the biggest project since the indoor baseball, since the workout facility. Got the student athlete success center going up next to the arena, kind of on Cessna Stadium. Got the strength and conditioning center and the dugouts, clubhouse, locker room, etc. over at X Stadium. What's the progress update on those two projects?
Those are moving along according to schedule. Everything seems to be on pace and exactly where we want it to be. The project at X Stadium, which has been known as Phase 5 for several years, is taking shape. It's under roof now, and you can walk through that facility and get a feel of what it's going to be come January. And January is our target move-in time, so we're hoping to be in and settled before the baseball season began. So our entire baseball organization will move from the right field line over to back where its original roots began, down the left field line on third base. So this facility will connect the dugout to the clubhouse, as you mentioned, the strength conditioning area, and also connect it to the indoor facility. So theoretically, you'll be able to go between the indoor facility and the third base dugout all indoors. And so we're looking forward to that. It's going to make a big difference for our program, just in housing everything for baseball in one spot. And also softball will benefit from that. They'll utilize the strength conditioning areas in that facility, just like they do the indoor facility. Our men's and women's tennis programs will also move their strength conditioning areas, and that will be housed in that facility as well. So that will touch several members of our student athletes, several members of our several programs there. So it's not just a baseball project, although baseball will greatly benefit, but there are several sports that'll benefit from it.
Brent Chemnitz has kind of made it his mission to document that construction every day on Twitter. Do you have another Twitter project for him once that thing gets all done? Where will he spend his energies then?
Well, he is committed to having as many followers as President Trump, so which I think is 5 million last time I checked. So he is going to have to continue his pace of Twitter. You know, Brent has a lot of energy, and when we first began to talk to him about Twitter, you know, that was completely foreign to him, didn't know what we were even speaking of. So it's sometimes we wonder if that was a mistake in teaching him about Twitter, because now every post that he makes, you can expect him in your office within the next 2 or 3 minutes to see if you have seen his tweet. So
yes, exactly.
He wants to check in and make sure that all of his tweets are getting the proper the proper viewership as he sees fit. So,
yes. And he demands that you retweet too. I know
he really likes retweets. He doesn't really understand the likes, but he understands the retweets. But Brent was significant in getting the funding to build Phase 5 and get that completed. It was a mission of his, and you know, he really continues to work to make sure that we have all the tools in the treasure trove that we will need to get all the bells and whistles to make that facility as best as it can be.
It's been an interesting transformation. I don't think he has a computer in his office, and I know that if he does, it was only recent, but yet he is big on the Twitter and the social media.
Yeah, if he has a computer, it's not hooked up to anything, so it's just for show.
You and your wife made a donation to the Student Athlete Success Center. Why'd you feel that was important to make that contribution to that project?
Well, Wichita State means a lot to us, and when we go out and we talk about the importance of facilities and the importance of continuing to give, you know, I feel like that we need to be a part of that, and Kim feels the same way. We need to, you know, I never trust a cook that doesn't eat their own food. So if we're going to go out and sell and ask people to give their resources, regardless of the amount, I think it's important to give your own. And we've done that. We've had several members of the athletic department to do that. And I don't know that it's common across the university, but I believe that professors oftentimes end up being good donors of their institution they serve, and we buy into that as well. So these student athletes are huge significance to us personally, and you know, I personally spend a lot of time with them and their journey through their whether it's 5 years here at Wichita State or 3 years, or you know, transfer situation sometimes too. I spend a lot of time with those young men and women. They mean a lot to me, and I want to help provide them the best experience possible. And Kim and I are proud to be a part of this project financially, and you know, we want to always do our part to provide the best experience we can.
We should probably remind people exactly what's happening with the Student Athlete Success Center. Run through that real quick, how things will change and what areas are getting moved around.
Well, the most exciting part of the Success Center is that it will directly impact every young man and woman in our department just through the academic services and the space that'll be provided. We'll more than double the space of their academic learning center that currently is housed in Charles Koch Arena. That area will move over to the new Student Athlete Success Center. We'll have a larger enhanced study area. We'll have private tutoring areas, private study rooms, new computer lab. So it touches every kid in our department. You know, our men's, women's golf and track and field offices will move over in this new facility. And then the bottom floor, the first floor of that facility will be dedicated to track and field for new clubhouses, locker rooms, meeting areas, as well as a strength conditioning area that'll be utilized by more than just track and field, but its primary purpose will be to house those young men and women for strength conditioning purposes. And you know, provide them with state-of-the-art equipment and the things that they need to be successful. Track and field is roughly half of our student athletes in our department, and they run a fantastic program under the leadership of Steve Rainbolt, who's starting his 20th year here, along with Chris Lamb starting his 20th year as a head coach. So Steve has built a fabulous program. It's team-oriented, team-driven. And we've had a lot of success in that area, and are you know, are enjoying it right now in our cross country season that just begun with you know, with first class all American type individuals that represent our track and field program.
And there's what, roughly 120, 130 kids on that track and field team, and that's one of the areas where, yeah, I guess Wichita State opened the new Koch Arena in 2002 or 2003, and there's a lot more students, a lot more athletes in this department now, which is one of the reasons why the new buildings were needed, correct?
Yes, that's 100% correct. We're bursting at the seams when at the high volume areas of strength conditioning, and also the high volume times of the academic learning times, you know, early in the evenings, immediately following the traditional practice times at late afternoon that most of our sports participate in practice. We need more space, and it's just not a very comfortable or conducive to a learning environment down there right now. So this facility will make a big difference in the experience of every kid in our department.
Busy summer in the American Athletic Conference as Wichita State's getting ready to start year three. UConn's leaving, new TV deal. So let's go over that a little bit. I'm sure that will become something that is more and more important to fans as we get closer to the release of the basketball schedule, get closer to basketball season. In March, the conference signed a 12-year deal with ESPN. I guess the big takeaway or change will be games on ESPN Plus, which is a subscription format. How does this affect fans? What should they kind of be getting ready for as we're getting close to a lot of TV time?
We'll still have the traditional games and contests on ESPN, ESPN2, and you know the linear model that we're used to watching through cable packages, but also each conference member will be tasked with providing roughly 100 events from our campuses that will be streamed live on ESPN Plus, which is, as you mentioned, a subscription-based model, an app, if you will. I subscribe to that app currently, trying to get to know and feel how that is. And, you know, it's athletics when you want it, how you want it, wherever you want it. And you can watch it on your device. You can stream it to your traditional television on your wall in the den, or you can watch it on your laptop or phone. And but we'll be, as well as every other conference member, will be providing over 100 events that commence from our institutions and on campus. So pretty much every event that happens on the campus will be available. Which is a big deal for parents across the country and internationally. Also a big deal for recruiting, because now kids can go on and see our events and get a feel of what we provide from an atmospheric point of view. But you'll be able to see just about everything that happens on our campus will be available to the public.
So this sounds a lot like what the Missouri Valley Conference did kind of in the last two or three years of Wichita State's membership in that conference, where there was the Valley on ESPN. Is this similar to that?
It's similar. That was an ESPN3 platform, which was not subscription-based, but this will be similar. I think that we'll provide a higher quality broadcast. There'll be industry standards that each campus has to meet to put the events on ESPN Plus, and there'll be minimum requirements for number of cameras, type of cameras, and the production value that we're all looking forward to be proud of, to showcase our conference membership and our institutions in a manner that we all see fit and be proud of.
So this will help the volleyball fans who got used to seeing road matches, help softball fans who want to see the Shockers when they're on the road at Tulsa or East Carolina or those kind of things then too.
So absolutely.
They will get those kind of things. Speaking of volleyball, Wichita State has its home tournament starting on Thursday, just a fabulous field that continues this very strong non-conference schedule that Chris Lamb puts together. We've got the Shockers and number 13 BYU at 7 on Thursday. They play VCU at 7 on Friday, and then number 3 Texas at 7 on Saturday. And then if you're a big volleyball fan, you've got BYU Texas at 4:30 Friday. So you've really got some high-level volleyball going on this week in Koch Arena. And VCU, they're not ranked. They're the defending Atlantic 10 champion, picked second in the preseason. So it's a strong field from top to bottom. So as an athletic director, Chris Lamb, and he schedules like this, always has, really enjoys it. How does he go about getting this kind of this level of opponent into Wichita?
Well, it's a mentality. First of all, it's wanting to expose your program to the best possible competition that you can get, and wanting to play the best. And Chris, as Coach Marshall does in basketball, and I think you're going to see the same thing in Eric Wedge in baseball. We'll play anyone, but you're coming back. You know, you're coming back to our campus. So we'll go and play the best of the best, but you're coming back. We're not taking a check. And that's how Chris has built his volleyball schedule over the years. And, you know, it may be 2 years, it may be 3 years in some cases before these teams can agree to come back to your campus. But that is the mindset. And, you know, he and Shannon have built a fan base here in Wichita, as I mentioned earlier, and going into the 20th year here, has built a knowledgeable and a very loyal fan base here in Wichita. So I'm not going to be surprised if we have a big crowd of Wichita State fans show up for that 4:30 match to see BYU in Texas, because I think they love competition, they love good volleyball, they recognize it, and they know what they're looking at. So I won't be surprised at all if we have a good crowd for that. But, you know, it's impressive when you have a coach that will go on the road and, you know, maybe go 1-2, maybe go 2-1, and come back and talk about how excited they are because of the way his team played, and just recognize that it's the journey more than the end, I think is the way John Wooden used to say it. And the journey of building championship teams is something that he knows how to do, and has put a lot of time, energy, and effort into building this program the way we have it now.
With Interest Bank Arena coming online downtown, we've seen Wichita State and other entities around the city really get active with bringing NCAA basketball, men's and women's, to Wichita. There's been some maybe blue sky, you know, down the road, would Wichita be a suitable host for the volleyball Final Four? So do events like this help? Do they help educate fans? Do they help give Wichita State a little piece of data that they can take to the NCAA and say, yeah, look, we bring in high-level volleyball and fans respond?
I think it helps. It helps. Brad Pittman is very involved, our senior associate AD for facilities and game operations. He is the lead on all of those NCAA tournament-type events. And, you know, the more things that you're willing to host, the more sports that you're willing to host and you put in a bid to try to host is impactful. And, you know, we were awarded the first and second round of the NCAA volleyball tournament a couple of years ago, and we had over 7,000 in attendance both nights, which I believe was second in the country, maybe third in the country, and just dwarfed most of the other 14, 15 host sites. Volleyball is a little different in that you have to be one of the top 16 teams in the country to host the first and second round. But we've had success with women's basketball first and second rounds. Now we've been awarded a women's basketball regional. So coming up here in the next couple of years, we will send someone to the Final Four. From the Wichita Regional downtown at Intrust Bank Arena. And then the experience for the men's basketball first and second rounds a couple years ago was second to none. People left here just blown away with the experience that they felt in Wichita and the downtown area, and really didn't know what to expect when they got here, but left being very, very impressed. But back to your original question, I think the more high-level events that we can bring in, and our fan base supports just about everything we do, and those numbers they matter. And when you turn in average attendance for the year, and Wichita State regularly is in the top 10 in attendance in volleyball across the country, you know, I think those things are important when you try to bid and you know get things such as first and second rounds, or in this case, a Final Four. I don't know if we can get a Final Four in volleyball, but we'll try.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. Interesting to think about. You know, probably, well, 20 years ago, Chris Lamb's been here 20 years, you would not have even thought about that. But I think he's done such a good job of educating people, and you know, there's an appreciation now for really good college volleyball in this community that I think it's not crazy to think about something like that. And basketball as well.
Yeah, and you know, basketball this year, we're I'm really excited about our basketball program this year, our men's and women's, but I'll take a minute to focus on our men's because our fan base was exposed to something last year that I think is very rare. And you know, we saw a team that was not the team we were expecting to put on the field, put on the court for competition. We never thought that Landry would leave after his sophomore year. That was a surprise, I think, to everyone. You know, obviously it was the right decision for him, but we weren't expecting it. You know, then we had a huge senior class. You know, we had one transfer that we weren't expecting. That is the only time that's really happened in Coach Marshall's tenure. So we had a really, really young group, inexperienced group, that inherited a schedule that they weren't ready for, you know, bottom line. So we convinced them through our scheduling in November and December that they weren't very good, and which in fact was not the case. But the schedule that they inherited was a tough one. When you talk about going on the road to Virginia Commonwealth and Oklahoma and a neutral site game against Providence, and you know, we started off the year with a very tough opener with Louisiana Tech at home here in a guarantee game, and that team just wasn't ready for that at the time that that schedule met them. But to watch Coach Marshall and his staff, and to watch these young men allow themselves to be coached and allow themselves to be brought along throughout the year was really something that was fabulous to watch, because you could literally see it. You could see the improvement between Wednesday and Saturday. And when things clicked around mid-January, that became a very, very fun and impressive team down the stretch. You know, they ended with a Final Four run in the NIT, and the way that they got to Madison Square Garden was just awesome to watch and impressive to watch, with three consecutive road games. You know, and to go on the road to Clemson, to go on the road to Indiana, you know, those teams generally are not going to play us in a home-and-home setting. So to go into their venue and come out with a win in impressive style and impressive fashion, and obviously be the better team late into March was real impressive. And I tip my hat to those coaches and those young men and our fan base for sticking with them. And they were there every night, and continued to support that team as they were building, and that was impressive, and that said a lot about this community and how they embraced that team.
And that was a case where the NIT was the perfect platform, the perfect thing for that team to go through. The women's basketball, Keith Adams, went kind of through the same thing. A lot of new faces last year, and will have their opportunity to make some improvements this year.
Yeah, they will, and it's impressive to watch these young women. You know, when you walk into Charles Koch Arena, every time I hear a ball bouncing, I want to see who's bouncing it. And now you're seeing, yesterday morning around, we had a meeting early around 7:30, and when I got here, I heard some balls bouncing and stepped in there, and you know, there's Carla and Eric Stevenson sharing the court, and Dexter's down there, and you know, you have two or three women and two or three of the men's players. 7:30 in the morning before classes start, they come over here on their own. There's not a coach in the gym, getting shots up. And, you know, those are the things, as an athletic director or is just a fan. When you see and know that that's going on, you know you're trying to build something special, and you're doing it with the right type young men and women that want to commit and come in and work on their game. And you know, Carla was on her national team in France over the summer, and you know, just to be chosen and selected and to represent your country. I don't care what the competition level is, but when you represent your country, that's a big deal. And you know, Keitha, I'm very happy with the progress that they're making. And you know, it takes time. It takes time to build a program. We're not trying to build a team. We're trying to build programs, and that's the way we've had success here at Wichita State, and that's what we expect from our women's team.
Let's wrap it up with academic review. You mentioned this at the I guess the back to school athletic department breakfast last week. So for 2018-19, the athletic department teams compiled a 3.23 cumulative GPA. So according to Gretchen Torlein, that's the department's best since they have records dating back to 1989. 70% of student athletes were on the athletic director's honor roll, and 30 of those student athletes had a 4.0 GPA during the spring of 19. So I'll give you the floor to talk about a really good academic performance from Wichita State.
It was a fantastic performance from our student athletes. And you know, Gretchen Torlein is our Jim Rattigan. They've been here about the same amount of time, I believe. So that's who we go to for historical analysis and comparisons. And I think she has some tablets downstairs where she kept it and kept the records on stone and chiseled them in. But I wish I could say that it's the leadership from the athletic director that gives the opportunity for these young men and women to perform as well as they do in the classroom. But you know, you have to credit our coaches for selecting and recruiting the type of young man and woman that academics is important to. And then they come here not only to compete on the field and compete for championships and in our conference and collectively as a team, but they also compete every day in the classroom. And our volleyball team was recognized nationally as one of the highest grade point averages in the country as a team. And to have a 3-2 cumulative over 260, 270 athletes, student athletes in your department, that just speaks volumes to the type of people, the character, and what education means to them. And these are the best of the best, and not just in their sport. They're the best in competing in the classroom as well. I'm very proud of them.
Darren, thanks for your time. We'll get the school year off on a good note. We've got volleyball this week. We've got the baseball scrimmage with Nebraska on September 21st, so there will be a lot going on this fall. This has been the Roundhouse Podcast. Thank you for listening.